What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Which brings us to our next guest, David Weigel, an astrophysicist and planetarium director for the U.S. Space and Rocket Center. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning. Glad to be here and, waking up.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it. an astrophysicist, so I'm guessing you couldn't make it as a communications major?
Actually, I'd beg to differ. I do love science, but I love to talk about it as well. And
well, that's
my
good.
Job is literally science communication.
There you go. I was just kidding around with you and putting myself down in a way. Let's talk about... I was born on August the 11th. I had a birthday just recently. My mother used to tell me I was born on the night of the shooting stars, which was the Perseid meteor shower, I think. Is that over with or not?
Sort of wrapping up at this point. It's a really great meteor shower to get some bright meteors and pretty good density of meteors. But, we got something else pretty good happening right now as well.
Which is?
It's a planetary parade, and the planetary parade is kind of a bit of a media-driven term, but it's basically the idea that at some point throughout the year, and not exactly consistently, we have a variety of planets that can appear to sort of line up in the sky, which is due to really just orbital mechanics of how planets orbit around the sun in our solar system, but it makes for something really nice to point out, and in this case, if you go in the early morning, and really tomorrow is probably the last good day to see it, but early morning about, 45 minutes before sunrise, probably in the 4:50 a.m. to 5:15 a.m. Looking east and then kind of across the horizon towards the west, there's six planets lined up.
What planets?
And rather bright.
What planet? And first of all, we wouldn't know, but is Earth, if somebody were looking from a different direction, would Earth be part of that alignment or not?
That's a great question, and actually, yes. So, if we were looking from outside of our solar system, with a really really powerful telescope or something, and looking at our solar system kind of edge on, then yeah, sure, you'd see all of the planets kind of lined up nicely. But that's something that you'd see fairly regularly if you were looking at our solar system from edge on.
So 4:50 to 5 o'clock here, that's central time you're talking about, David?
That's central time, correct.
Okay, so, I'm up. I'm here at work. I'll just have to go outside and look. But it has to be a clear night. Where am I looking? What sky?
Mostly in the eastern sky, but then kind of towards zenith and a little bit past, meaning kind of straight up in the sky. And the six planets you can see is a little bit misleading in that Mercury is very low on the horizon, so you need a really good, clear view of the eastern sky. Then you've got Venus, which is the brightest thing in the sky, not named the sun or the moon. And Venus and Jupiter are really close to each other right now. They were in conjunction a few days ago. That means kind of a close proximity from our perspective, not really in 3D space, but from our perspective. And they're moving slowly further apart as the days go on. And tomorrow morning, not part of the planetary conjunction, but a planetary parade, but very pretty, is a very thin crescent of the moon right next to them. And then as you continue on that way, you can also see Uranus if you have a telescope. It's not naked eye visible. And then marching much further towards the western, almost southwestern sky is Saturn. Bright and pretty, and next to Saturn is Neptune. Definitely not bright, but pretty if you can see it through a telescope.
I bought a telescope for my kid way back in the day, and I don't know if it was defective or I was defective. Is it that? How hard is it, David, for the amateur to get a? And I know you don't endorse products, but. When it comes to telescope, if somebody's listening to this, like, you know what, that's pretty cool. I want to get up with my kid to look at this. how would you advise them to go about getting a telescope? What are the parameters
sure
that
thing.
You would?
That's a great question. And I guess if we're talking just like generically how to pick a telescope, really the best telescope for you is the one that fits in your budget that you're actually going to use. And so what I mean by that is with telescopes, bigger is absolutely better in terms of seeing. But bigger is also heavier and clunkier and you know, sort of a pain to get out. So generally, if you're willing to spend somewhere in the, you know, $150 to, you know, $600, you can get a pretty solid telescope that you can see some nice things. For planetary viewing, honestly, even something like binoculars are going to be okay, especially for the brighter planets. Something like a Venus, you'd be able to see the phases of Venus. For Jupiter, you'll be able to see maybe a few of its brightest moons. For the moon, binoculars are fantastic. I mean, the only difficulty is holding them as still as possible. Another option that I really like that's fairly new are the idea of smart telescopes. So these are telescopes that can be pretty cost effective, a few under that $500 price point.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically integrate that light in real time. So what that means is just like your eyes see like a singular snapshot in time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can take pictures of the thing through the telescope. And it keeps stacking the images as you watch, and the image gets better and better and better the longer you watch it. Eventually, you sort of run out of how good it can be. But yeah, even over the course of a few minutes, it's increasingly impressive. And so sort of two different philosophies of, you know, viewing through an eyepiece versus viewing a screen, like maybe on an iPad. Beautiful in both cases.
I see one of these things, a Dwarf 3 smart telescope that looks a lot like a rangefinder you would use on a golf course. I had no idea they were that small. Or when it comes to smart telescopes, I got to be honest, I'm no astrophysicist, so obviously when I look up in the sky, you probably see a lot more things, David, than would I or any civilian, if you want to use that term. So how, if we don't have a smart telescope, how would we go about as a starting point, a reference point or whatever, to then work our way toward the planets?
Sure thing. So for this specific event, I would say look towards the eastern sky if you know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
And basically,
well, your phone will tell
you
that, right? I mean, you can put your phone on compass. So that is no, I'm being serious because a lot of people don't know. That's
sure.
A starting point. So put the phone on compass and look toward the eastern sky. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, I can even say too that there's plenty of apps that you can download that are free or not very expensive,
mm-hmm.
that will show you where various things are in the sky. I would say that you really don't need to pay for an app to show you that. Some paid apps give you a little bit more features, but for something simple, yeah, free apps like I don't even know, Google Sky maybe, mm-hmm. is still a thing, or something like Stellarium. But so put your phone on compass, look towards the eastern sky. You probably will see a little bit of a glow in the early morning of the sun about to rise. And the brightest thing that you can see in that eastern sky will be Venus.
Okay.
And as you look kind of towards, draw a line sort of towards the horizon with Venus, nearby that line, there should be something else kind of bright. That would be Mercury. And Mercury, as the days increase, is getting closer and closer to the sun. And then right next to Venus, something else really bright is Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
So again, tomorrow morning, Venus, Jupiter, and the moon are going to be in this sort of triangular pattern. Very, very bright and very pretty.
So the moon would be
so highly
maybe a starting point, right? The moon, you could work your way down from that, left and right, or not?
Sure. So actually, I mean, yes, I'll just say that the moon will be such a tiny crescent. It's waning and only a couple days away from a new moon.
Mm-hmm.
And so since it is so tiny, a sliver, it might not be immediately obvious. I mean, you would hope it would be, but let's say it could be overlooked. So, but those three things in the sky should be pretty clear and fairly easy to pick out.
Let me take a break, David. What we've done, for those that listen regularly know, we've kind of changed what we do from a typical talk show, since it's the morning and, you know, with that, I got to tell you what's wrong with this, I'll tell you what's wrong with that. We kind of do more like podcasts and informational segments, and this is one of them, talking with David Weigel, an astrophysicist and planetarium director for the U.S. Space and Rocket Center. When we come back, we'll talk about Space Camp, and if y'all have any questions about the Parade of Planets, you can text them into the Oakmanard Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. No texting and driving, and I'll pass them along. We're calling it the Planet Parade, but we here are used to parades where they throw things, and we don't want these planets throwing anything at us, I don't think. 921, back in a flash, WWL. We are talking to David Weigel, an astrophysicist and planetarium director for the U.S. Space and Rocket Center, about the Planetary Parade. Doc, somebody texted in and wanted to know about telescopes that record so they could set it up and then go back and watch it, I guess, and fast forward or whatever they want to do, or preserve it. Do you know if they make such a thing?
Sure thing. So that's actually a little bit of what I was just explaining before. So some of these smart telescopes, you could literally do just that. You could set it up, have it connected to your phone or to a tablet or something, and you could go back inside, and as long as you're within, you know, connection range for it, you can literally do the observing remotely from your living room. And again, like, could be at a sub-$500 price point. So, yeah, it's a pretty comfortable and exciting and simple thing.
So I'm looking at your Instagram account until it kicked me off because I didn't log in. You got some great pictures there. I'm trying to find a password now so I can keep looking at it. That's a true story. So when it comes to your how can people follow you on social media and see the stuff that you post?
Sure thing. You're talking about the Rocket Center?
Yeah. Or you personally?
Absolutely. So, you probably don't want to follow me, but...
Whatever it is. I looked up David Weigel, and I saw some pictures of the nice pictures that you've taken of different things in the sky, et cetera.
Sure thing. Well, so I guess Rocket Center USA across most social media platforms. If you do want to follow me, A. David Weigel, that's A-D-A-V-I-D-W-E-I-G-E-L on Instagram, and do have a few astro photos and some climbing. You know, gotta do it all.
Yeah, now it says enter the code and WhatsApp, and I'm not doing all that stuff, so we'll figure it out later. Tell me about Space Camp.
Sure thing. Well, Space Camp is awesome. There's really no other way to put it. We are the longest running STEM camp in the world, and it is a very full-bodied experience where we really teach you all the things you need to know about being an astronaut and going to space. So there are, you know, simulated missions where you can train to be an astronaut, quite literally. We have, you know, various lessons throughout and activities that help, you know, mold people's minds in the way of just critical thinking, specifically for, you know, problem solving for different, you know, science-related things. Everyone goes to the planetarium, to the Intuitive Planetarium, and get these live and interactive, immersive experiences. And that's my baby, so that's what I'm most excited about.
And it's not that far away. It's in Huntsville, Alabama, right?
In Huntsville, Alabama, absolutely. Rocket City, USA.
So everybody's got a story, and I want to hear yours. How do you go from, I saw your picture, and I'm not trying to comment on your appearance or anything, but you hardly look like a nerd. You talk about rock climbing and mountain climbing and so forth. What made you get so interested, and how hard is it to be an astrophysicist?
That's a fair question. I've always really just been very fascinated with the unknown and exploration. And so, you know, that drives me here on the Earth to go explore things and, you know, national parks, so that sort of thing. But it drives my interest in trying to explore the universe. And I mean, that sounds pretty cliche, and maybe it is. But I think it's just really neat looking at all the different research coming out from, you know, every single institution and the different telescopes on Earth and in space, et cetera. And for me, research is very fascinating, and it's neat to be on the cutting edge of a very, you know, niche topic. I, as a planetarium director, have this unique opportunity to be involved in the latest and greatest of everything, because it's my job to bring those discoveries to the public in a way that is understandable, that's compelling, that's beautiful. And I'm very passionate about visualization of all of these things so that we take this data, we make these immersive, beautiful experiences that people can explore the wonders of the universe and our latest and greatest understanding. So it is big, sure, but it's something that's absolutely attainable. It's hard work, but, you know, anyone can do it.
Have you been through the astronaut training or not?
Through space camp?
Yeah.
So that's sort of a painful story.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. I thought it might be.
In school, I actually didn't get to go. My elementary school went, and they swapped the grades. Right when I was moving into fifth grade, they moved it down to fourth grade, mm-hmm. and so I didn't get to go as a kid. I did get to go after I started working here at the U.S. Space Rocket Center, where I've been for about 6 years now. And it's an amazing time, like I said. And for those of you who are like me and have missed out, do know that we offer adult camps and family camps. So it's never too late to come back. And we're in the process of refreshing our experiences dramatically. We have some new construction underway for a whole new building called Inspiration 4 that will really revitalize our simulations and get them really cutting edge. So the future is very bright and exciting.
If somebody's never been in a planetarium, what would you tell them?
Ooh, great question there, too. So I think a lot of people have been to planetariums a long time ago, and they think of this, you know, domed room that's kind of comfortable and maybe sleepy and somebody, you know, talking about the night sky. But the modern planetarium is very different than that. Yes, it still may be comfortable and a little bit sleepy because you're turning out the lights, but the technology with digital planetariums is so, so impressive. So for us, we have, you know, very high-end technology. You might think about, like, the Sphere in Las Vegas or something like that, where it's this huge dome screen, but we can put anything on that screen. And so when you come into the intuitive planetarium at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center, you have the opportunity to fly literally anywhere in the universe. And because our shows are live and interactive, either myself or someone on my team is the audience's personal tour guide to the universe on the topic at hand. So we can fly over the surface.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Surface of Mars and see data at 25 centimeters per pixel. That's 10 inches per pixel. If there's a football-sized rock on Mars, we can show you that.
Wow.
We can fly to the edge of the universe and look at trillions of galaxies. Like, it, you know, the sky is quite literally not the limit. And so we have the ability to visualize all these things and then also explore this kind of collectively. So it's not a lecture. It's not, you know, a talk, but it's mutual discovery. And sure, we can show you the planetary parade and we can show you what to look for in the night sky, but then we can fly you beyond the surface of our planet and take you anywhere in that cosmos. And it's a really, really powerful and unique thing.
It's about a 7-hour drive, so it would be an overnight thing, but are there weekend packages or something, David, if somebody wants to bring the family?
I guess
or just daily
tickets? The Rocket Center, the best way would be, from a package standpoint, would be like an adult space camp or a family space camp sort of situation. Or, I mean, you know, bring your kids and you come to the planetarium.
Just get your day tickets before you go because it sells out or not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. So I would say specifically for the Intuitive Planetarium, every Friday we host a series called Cocktails and Cosmos. It's a new show every week that we produce for that week. They're all live interactive as well on topics that are, you know, relevant to the latest and greatest in astronomy. So like this week, we're talking about the Vera Rubin Observatory and its first images that were released earlier this summer. And we have a hotel right on campus. It's the Marriott Hotel right on campus, so and several more within a 5-minute drive. So very, very easy to get out there for the weekend and check things out, and highly, highly recommended in my very biased opinion.
And what is the site, David, where people go?
Rocketcenter.com
Pretty simple.
Rocketcenter.com, and that can get you to Space Camp. That can get you to the U.S. Space and Rocket Center Museum. That can get you to the Intuitive Planetarium. And you can find out more. And again, Rocket Center USA on Facebook, Instagram, X, YouTube. Kind of run the gamut there.
All right, let me run this through because I want to clear everything up. Somebody texted and said, just because somebody likes space makes them a nerd, how disrespectful of you, damn it. I certainly hope you know, David, that I was not disrespecting you. What I was saying is that it's cool to be an astrophysicist. STEM subjects are cool, and that would be an excellent way to expose your children to it, to see, to show them that not everybody that is proving the point, not everybody that is interested in space or science is a nerd. If anything, it makes you the smartest one in the room.
Well, I appreciate it, but and no respect, disrespect was taken. I completely agree. You know, we get very nerdy about this sort of thing, and it's so much fun. Whether you're really passionate about space or you're just a little bit curious, I think anytime you go into the Intuitive Planetarium, you know, there's something for you. And again, at Cocktails and Cosmos specifically, you know, it's a very casual, laid back environment. And, you know, we're showing you these beautiful things. Maybe you get a good drink. And there's a little bit of comedy as well. And we don't shy away from, you know, some of the heavier science, but we also convey it in a way that's for everybody. And people leave very, very, very happy, and they come back a lot.
From a communication standpoint, which is where we started this, it's interesting that you start with cocktails and not cosmos.
Yes. Well, I guess twofold.
There you go.
One, it is linear.
Yeah.
You start with the cocktails and or a mocktail or just popcorn, mm-hmm. I guess, and then you get the cosmos. But two, that's a little bit punchy to ring you in of, ooh, Friday night event. Let's see what we can do.
The perfect marriage of communications and astrophysicistry, if that's the word, with David saying it's linear. I love that. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. And let me tell you this, personally, every astrophysicist that we've ever had on have been the coolest people I've ever spoken to. So thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Hopefully we'll have you again.
Thank you.
So
love to be. Appreciate it.
5:40 to 6 o'clock tomorrow, Eastern Sky, and go from there. Right?
Oh, that's correct. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll take a break. Come back, talk with Jeff Nowak about the Saints 939 traffic, WWL. 9:46, 14 till 10. Let me clean this up. I think I mistakenly said the planetary parade was 5:40 to 6. It's going to be too late if you get up then. It's 4:40 until 5 o'clock, just to be clear. Jeff Nowak joins us now, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Digital producer, Jeff, it's just shocking, the NFL. It's traveling around the world like you wouldn't believe this travesty that you and Mike Haas exposed about the end of the preseason game. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know how much I exposed it as much as, you know, the refs, I think, may have had some dinner reservations they wanted to get to. Yeah, I mean, if anyone who watched the end of that, you know, it's funny, I don't know how many people actually watched the end of that game, because most fans, I think, don't get to the end of a preseason game. In this case, you had Spencer Rattler out there. I think people wanted to see him.
Yeah,
so maybe there was a higher percentage. But, yeah, that final play, Jonas Sanker, or Rajon Wright tips the ball up to Jonas Sanker, turns what would have been a long field goal attempt to win it for the Jags into a tie. But, yeah, I mean, I think anyone watching that on TV, everyone in the building looked up, saw Jonas go down, and it's like, oh, there's a second left on the clock. Well, the refs disagreed, but you watch it on TV. I had someone say, like, oh, that's not official. I mean, it's official. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to know what the time is. And the replays are pretty clear that there was a second left, but whatever. It's a tie. It's preseason. You can move on. I think in the regular season, that gets reviewed a lot more closely, and they put
absolutely
a second back on the clock.
Absolutely.
It would have been nice to see Charlie Smith get a chance to kick a game winner, but hey, we can talk about a tie.
How long of a field goal would it have been?
Oh, I haven't gone back and looked. I guess it'd be around 50 yards. He did get past the 40-yard line, so it would have been a makeable kick. And he had already made two field goals on the day, so it would have been a good opportunity for him. But again, it's like the result doesn't matter, so you just move on.
Yeah, since we're there, let's talk about that. He's got no shot at unseating out of my head.
Groupie,
you're right.
Yeah. I mean, for a few reasons. One, he really struggled with his consistency early in camp. You know, what his kind of best skill is he has this kind of generational leg in terms of, I'm pretty sure he can make a kick comfortably from 65, 70 yards. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that's not how you're picking your kicker. You're picking your kicker based on, are you making the kicks that we're going to ask you to make the most in games? You know, and so that means, yeah, you want them to be consistent from 50 to 59. Most NFL kickers today can be that. It's, are you going to make a like 95% of your kicks inside 40? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, Blake, I think on the kicks we've seen him in practices, I think he's something like 34 of 35. You know, he made from 51 the other day. So he's making it at like a 98% clip.
Yeah, and it's hard to, you can't pass that up. You can't,
right, like
no.
Charlie could have been the most consistent kicker in the NFL through, you know, the first 2 weeks, and he'd still have a hard time mm-hmm. unseating Blake. So it's good to see Charlie kind of rebuilding that confidence because he's 4 for 4 in the preseason games where he's had a chance to kick. He's 3 for 3 this year. He also had to make from 50 yards. So, you know, like the Saints can keep him on the practice squad. Mm-hmm. They get an extra spot through the International Pathway Program for another year. Yeah, so I think they will keep him around.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's the thing. If he had gone out and missed all 3 of his kicks in the games, they may have just said, like, yeah, I mean, you know, good luck. Like, we're going to move on. So it's good to see him kind of rebuilding that confidence because, again, I think, you know, maybe with another year of seasoning and on a practice squad, you come back next training camp, have another shot at it, and maybe you kind of pick it up. But, no, Blake's going to be your kicker, and I think the Saints are excited about Blake.
Let's talk about quarterback. It makes no difference to me because I can say, the Shaka, as easily as I can say, the Rattler. Who's got the lead, do you think, going into either game 3, or how are they going to manage the quarterback play in game 3?
We'll see. You know, I'd like to think that they make a decision this week, and whether they announce it as this is our starting quarterback, I think whoever gets out there and starts the final preseason game, you know, that's probably your starter, right? Because I think you're going to want to get him all the first team reps you can throughout the week in practice. You know, like week 1 is going to be here before you know it. Like they're going to have an off week, so there'll be some time. You know, you have kind of that 2 week window after Saturday's preseason game. But you got to know, man, someone's going to go out there and play and play when the real bulls start flying. And so you want to make a decision. My guess is at this point it's going to be Rattler. You know, if you go based on statistics, it's about as close as it could get. I think one guy is like 24 of 34. The other guy is 25 of 35. Both guys have led touchdown drives. The one touchdown drive, both guys have led 2 drives that resulted in field goals. Both guys have executed in 2-minute scenarios. Tyler was his first drive in the NFL last week against the Chargers. Spencer was the game-tying drive with the 2-point conversion this week against the Jaguars. So, you know, from that perspective, it's about as close as it can get. So it's going to come down to, okay, what are the grades? Like, who do you have graded higher? Who's making the better decisions the majority of the time, right? And I think at this stage, they're probably going to have a little more confidence in Spencer to go out there week 1 and have some success. I'm still in the situation now where I expect both quarterbacks to play at some point in the season. If that's the case, then I want to go with Spencer first because that gives me the trigger of, hey, things aren't going well. I'm going to go to the rookie and see what he has. I really don't want to have to do that the other way around, right?
Yeah, I heard the canon, the birthday boy, opine about that, where it's better to start Rattler because if for whatever reason the team gets off to a bad start or he gets off to a bad start, it's a lot easier to then turn to Shuck than it would be the other way around.
Exactly, and I think you can also do that without destroying a young player's confidence.
Right.
Right, and I think that's got to be an important part of this conversation. If Tyler was playing head and shoulders above Spencer, then yeah, you go with Spencer. If Spencer came out and didn't look like he could hack it, then you go with Tyler. But like, I don't see that. I see a second year guy who seems like he's taken steps forward, and I see a young player who has progressed extensively throughout camp, but still I feel like has some time left to grow. So that's where I'd be right now, and I just hope that we don't drag this out through the final preseason game, because I just don't see how that benefits anybody.
You are welcome anytime you want to come on, Jeff. I appreciate your time. Real quick, when's your birthday?
March 11th. Me and Anthony Davis share a birthday party. I'm still waiting for the combo party. You know, maybe someday he'll get back here, but for now, it's just me on March 11th. Mm.
He might overshadow you anyway, literally.
Maybe a little bit. He is tall.
Big guy, yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Pleasure as always. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, digital producer. It is Bobby Hebert's birthday today, as well as Saints legend Morton Anderson. So if you want to text the cannon this afternoon, I'm sure he'd appreciate your birthday wishes. 9:54, we'll take a break, come back, find out what Newell's got planned for us today here on WWL.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.